All right, tonight I am going to teach you a subject that if you can understand, which you can, but you're going to have to track because I'm going to be in teaching mode here. It's not going to be prophecy mode, which is its own challenges, but it's going to be teaching mode. It will tell you what is going on in our country. Why all the lawlessness? Why all the violence? Why all the murders, why all the killings, why all we're on the verge of civil war? It's a spiritual principle. Because, I mean, it doesn't, you don't even have to watch the news to know that our country is in the midst of spirits of violence, hatred, murder. They've just been unleashed in our nation way before Charlie Kirk was assassinated. And it's escalating. So I'm going to give you a grid. It's a battle, and I want to explain these words because it sounds too, because I want to make it practical and not just some spiritual teaching. It is a battle of righteousness versus lawlessness. It really is. Satan is trying to stop what God has begun in our nation. And even with Christians and pastors, he wants us to cower in fear, retreat from our stand for righteousness and truth. I mean, that whole thing with Charlie Kirk being assassinated, and he's not the only one, is they're trying to silence the voice of truth and righteousness. But it's not going to happen. In the political realm, and we'll go into more details, in the political realm, President Trump is doing what he can to try to contain lawlessness, whether it's the border, whether it's Antifa in Portland, whether it's the outrageous murder rates in Chicago and attack of ISIS. This is a spiritual principle that reveals the heart of people, and that's what I want to talk about. It can be on an individual level, and obviously is, all the way to a national level and even an international level. When you take people like Hamas in Gaza, Putin in Ukraine, it is all the same principle, this battle of lawlessness versus righteousness. And so what's happening like in the political realm, he can only do so much because these are heart issues, heart issues. And that's why we as praying people need to understand the spiritual principles that's going on behind them. And you go, well, it's gotten a whole lot worse since Trump's gotten in. He's making it worse. No, it was always there. It is no different than if you've seen parents and you've allowed a four-year-old to do whatever they wanted to for 4 years. And then you get an insight on what parenting should be. And you start changing your tactics. What happens? They start throwing tantrums and they get worse. Because it's who's going to be in control. And so what you're seeing at a national level is tantrums. We're going to be in control and you're not going to tell us what to do. So, let's start. There's two ways to respond. And I'm going to tie all this up. There's going to be a lot of facts here, or a lot of threads. The first one is lawlessness versus righteousness. And I'm going to define these words. But let's start with lawlessness. Because it produces a chain of three things that ends in poverty. And I'll give them to you, then I'll talk to them. Lawlessness is this. It's when you say you get to decide what is right and wrong, what to do and what not to do. It can be as simple as you're not even evil, you're not committing murder, but whenever somebody decides they want to do what they want to do, not what God wants them to do, not what the Bible wants to do, the Bible calls you lawless. 1 John 3:4 says this, everyone who sins breaks the law. Sin is lawlessness. So you look at it in your own life, but also look at it, what's going on nationally is just a bunch of people doing the same thing. They're deciding, I don't want to be controlled, even if it's by good things. I don't want to obey. I want to be lawless. Now, some are even taking this to the point of anarchy. For years, I'm like, why are people destroying civilization? This is the reason. When you understand Marxism, Marxism is always born out of chaos. Now, most people don't know that this is what's going on, but this is the spirit behind it on a national level. They're trying to create anarchy, confusion, destroy civilization, so some form of communism slash Marxism can run up, can pull up out of it. When you study history, which I don't want to get into, this is what's always happened. From Venezuela to Cuba to North Korea to Russia to China to wherever. They're wanting anarchy. They think a new system that's going to be better is going to be birthed out of it. But communism, when you look into it in Marxism, they call these people fools that are useful fools. Lawlessness produces deception. Deception produces foolishness. We're going to walk through these real fast. And foolishness produces poverty. Lawlessness produces deception. Deception leads to foolishness. And then foolishness leads to poverty. A country, a person, does not immediately end up in poverty. Now, we're going to define poverty. It's not just money. A country doesn't end up in poverty. North Korea, Cuba, Venezuela. Venezuela was the richest country in South America at one time. They didn't immediately go from rich to utter poverty. They did not do that immediately. They did this, listen to me, if you'll write this down, you'll see this pattern. They did it by this process. And that's what I'm real quickly going to do. They were lawless, which means I decide what is right and wrong. Two, it leads to foolishness. Being a fool, it leads to deception, and then it leads to being a fool, and then it leads to poverty. Wow. So lawlessness, it's evidenced in anything that we do that's on our own. You can say, well, I'm not Antifa, I'm not in sexual immorality, I'm not going to SatanCon, which is a big Satan conference. But listen to me. Every time you decide I want to do it my way, even if it looks good, it will end up in poverty. It just takes time. It always goes this way. The only way to get abundance and prosperity in your life is to choose the tree of life, which is God's way. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Matthew 24:11 says this, in the end times, which started at Jesus Christ. The end times aren't coming. We're in the last days now. This has been going on for 2,000 years. I think it does increase in the last days, or the last day. It says, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. And because there will be more and more lawlessness, most people's love will grow cold. But the person who endures in the end will be saved. Right now, it is not enduring to the end. Right now, it is not popular to give righteousness. You get killed, like Charlie Kirk did. Standing up for truth can be costly. Now, it's not as costly for us because we live in somewhat of a little bit more biblical fault in the South, unless you're in a city like Atlanta or Miami or a bigger city. So it's not going to cost you quite as much. Chatsworth is not the same as Grant Park in Atlanta. Okay? Big difference. Most people in Chatsworth are probably at least saved. Or think they are. Grant Park is like, what? And so, what's that? So, when you do it your way, it sets up this process that you end up becoming deceived. And this is scary. Well, you think your way is the best way. And that's called deception. You're not even rationally thinking it's wrong anymore. And this is, we're easily way past this in our country. How many people have you talked to about sexual immorality, sexual lifestyles, thoughts, any subject, and they just think you're an idiot? Rationality, you're never going to get through them. Because they've walked in lawlessness so long, God gives them over to their thoughts and allows them to stew in it. They can't hear God's voice anymore. Well, Craig, where? Turn over to 2 Thessalonians 2:9. This is a biblical principle. Why is this person that used to be for God is so gone bonkers? It's because, listen to me, we can do that. I've said listen to me a bunch. Apply this at the individual level of the group. It's because they said no for so long, he stops speaking to them. Their past being convicted. It's a scary place. And huge swaths in America are there now. 2 Thessalonians verse 9. The man of sin, it's talking about in the future too, but it's end times, but it's now. It's now, it's in the past, it's now, and it's in the future. It's one of those verses that's a continually on recycle. The man of sin will come with the power of Satan. He will use every kind of power, including miraculous and wonderful signs, but they will be lies. He will use everything, verse 10, that God disapproves of to deceive those who are dying, those who refuse to love the truth that would save them. That's why God will send them a powerful delusion so that they will believe a lie. God sends it to them because they've said no so many times. Now, this is a hard concept to get around when you're a loving God. So what's the point? Say yes all the time. Say yes repeatedly all the time. Lord, I don't understand. Let me walk in righteousness. Verse 12, then everyone who did not believe the truth, this could be on multiple levels of subjects, but was delighted with what God disapproves of. They picked it because God doesn't like it. They will be condemned. That's a tough subject. But you move from lawlessness to deception. Once you move into the deception and you think you're right, God turns you over to being a fool. Romans 1:21. If you ever want to read about the destruction of a nation, read Romans 1. I don't want to go through it, but it's like a ladder from the first step to the last step, or maybe if it's going down from the last step to the first step, however you get it. But it's climbing a ladder from a free, prosperous group of people to utter destruction, where he turns them over to themselves. You go back and read it. You know what the last step is? If you read it the way I said it, you'll see this progression. It's a progression. And we progress this way for 65, 70 years. You know what the last step is? It's homosexuality and believe that it's normal. We are so far beyond that, it's not even funny. I'm not being judgmental. I'm not being condemning. We're not going to do this here. But if you look back and step off from a national level, I mean, it's legalized. It's not even tolerated. Our country is at the end of the destruction of this nation unless God comes in sovereignly. We can end up in slavery just like Israel did. I've heard people go, well, we got a covenant with God. No, we don't. We committed our nation to God. A covenant has to go two ways. He made a covenant with Israel. He walked through it. Abraham walked through it. It's his side and our side. We committed our nation to God, but there's nothing I can say where he promised this to us. But even if you believe we have a covenant with God as opposed to commitment to God, he still allowed his covenant nation to go into slavery twice. Egypt 400 years, Babylon 70. Why? Go back and read Numbers, the first 8 or 9 chapters, where he jumped to Deuteronomy 28. If you listen to my voice and obey my commands, all these things happen to you. Otherwise, these other things will happen to you. It's real simple. No nation can walk in unrighteousness forever. It always produces deception, which produces foolishness. Romans 1:21. Let me read this. Which then produces poverty / chaos. I'm not being negative. I'm going to give you the flip side here in a minute. I mean, this is negative because it's sober. We need to look at reality. But in our areas, we can reverse it. Romans 1:21 says this. Yes, they knew God. So this is in that destruction ladder I'm talking about. But they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. You see the progression? They said no. Then they start becoming foolish. Why? Because you disconnect yourself from the source of truth. And left to ourselves, we can be pretty loony. It can be pretty weird. Pregnant persons, give me a break. There are people, I don't think they actually believe it. If they do, their deception is so bad, it's like you need to put you in a mental asylum. I don't care what you think in your brain. Craig Cooper, Joel, where's a young guy? Max is never going to carry a baby. You can call him whatever you want. That's the most foolish, stupid things, but they say these things. People with PhDs. We go on and on. I don't want to sound like too judgmental, but we've got a bunch of foolish ideas. We got senators saying this. We've got governors saying this. Why? Because it's real simple. They said no and became a law unto themselves. They became deceived and think their ideas are great. And they, at the end here, as a result, their minds became dark and confused. This is the deception. But they don't know it. Because God's removed their hand. It's like, okay, if you think you're so good, let's see what you can do on your own. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. We live in the most foolish time in America ever. Now, what I'm seeing is righteousness rising, and we're going to get to that in a minute. We'll end up, this is the battle. We have to step back and go, Governor so-and-so, Senator so-and-so, neighbor so-and-so. I'm not saying say it to their face, but in our minds, you're just a fool. And if we know that in our minds, we can pray for them, we can have love for them, we can have compassion on them, depending on where it is. Or if it's at a national level, maybe we need to put them in jail. I don't know. But this is nuts. Because the scary thing about being a fool is you actually, we've all seen this, haven't you seen this? They think they're the most wisest people on the planet, and you're going, I don't even know how to start this conversation. Pregnant people, y'all know what I'm talking about. Usually you go a pregnant woman, but we don't say that anymore. We say pregnant people as if somehow or another magically Max is going to get pregnant. I'm picking on him. I'll pick on Landon in a minute. Let me jump ahead to so many verses here. 2 Timothy 3:9. Timothy is warning about crazy people. You can read the first 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 through 8. It says, these people are crazy. You can go back and read the details. I won't take because of time. I got to speed up here. At the end, he goes, and this is the same for our nation. This is the same for your neighbor. They won't get away with this kind of behavior for long. Someday, everyone will recognize what fools they are. We're going to see, I really believe, this is a battle. Not all nations win this battle. Some of the nations I spoke earlier didn't win it. I really do believe in America, to be honest, we will win this battle. Righteousness will prevail, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. I think it could even be bloody, physically bloody. It's already started with Charlie Kirk with the attack in Chicago on ICE agents. It's breaking out because fools go to violence because they have no good ideas. And so, I don't know what it's going to take. I don't see that happening here. This is a pretty conservative area, so stay in Chatsworth. And but we will cross this divide, but it's going to take a battle. This is a spiritual battle. The end times is about two women being raised up. The bride of Christ and the whore of Babylon. And that's playing out right now. Righteousness is the bride of Christ. The whore of Babylon is lawlessness. Lastly, let's talk about poverty real quick. I think pretty much everybody knows this. If someone, even if the whole nation turns, but if someone continues in lawlessness, becomes deceived, stay in their foolish ideas, poverty will end up being their inheritance. Now, this is not just money. You could have a lot of money and be poor. Poverty is a way of thinking that does not produce good things. Lack of vision, lack of family relationships. Good family relationships can come across a lot of things. So let's talk about the other thing. I'm going to give you four things, write them down, and then we're going to talk through them. So we had four things. Lawlessness ends up in poverty through deception and foolishness. I probably should do two or three sermons here, but I'm not going to take it because you'll get the point. Righteousness always produces prosperity in the end. How it does it is righteousness, right living, living right, that's a fancy word for living right, produces insight, which is the opposite of deception. Insight, you could call it understanding, which when you understand, you then become wise. So righteousness, insight, wisdom, and prosperity. That's how it goes. You go, so-and-so over there, they seem to be so prosperous in their marriage. They have a great marriage. Let me tell you, it did not just happen. Or they're prosperous in their finances, or prosperous with their kids. It did not just happen. God did not send a lightning bolt out of heaven and make them great parents. They became wise in how to be a good parent, which meant they understood what it needed to be good parents, and it started in making the right choices. That's righteousness. Right living is defined by the Holy Spirit and the Bible. And it's the first step is obedience, is saying yes. This is all through the Old Testament, not even talking about the New Testament. But the same principles that he led the Israelites with is the same principles he leads Christians with. The only difference is we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. They did not. Let me give you an example. Numbers 11, 8 and 9. This is instructions from Moses before they went into the promised land. Therefore, be careful to obey. Obey, obey, obey is the first step. Well, this is not a big deal. I can do it. God will forgive me. He will forgive you if you ask forgiveness, but you also may suffer the consequences of that sin. He'll give you forgiveness, but he doesn't usually take away the consequences. If I decide to meet my bills, I'm behind on my bills. This is extreme example. So I'll go down here to racetrack and I rob the racetrack. I know that's extreme. Okay, and then I ask forgiveness when I get caught. You usually don't do it till you get caught. He will forgive me, but guess what? I'm still going to go to jail most likely. And he's going to love me in jail and I'm going to love him, but he doesn't keep me from the consequences. Be careful to obey every command I am giving you today so that you may have strength to go into the promised land and take over the land that you're about to enter. Every one of us, God wants us to prosper. It starts with right living. Verse 9, if you obey, you will enjoy a long life in the land. The Lord swore to give your ancestors and to you, their descendants, a land flowing with McDonald's and Zaxby's. I don't want milk and honey. That was Craig's version. We could go on and on. Let me read this one. Hebrews 5, verse 13. All those who live on milk lack the experience to talk about what is right. That's why we still need teaching. There's some groups in the Christian say, let's just get together, pray, and worship. And that, let's do that. But in Acts 2, 46 and 47, it says the church was built on prayer. We want to pray. Fellowship, breaking of bread, and apostolic teaching. because that's all they had at the time was apostles teaching. I think teachers teach, other people teach. Because of this reason, they are still babies, Acts 5:13. Solid food is for mature people whose minds, now listen to this, it takes work to become righteous, are trained by practice to know the difference between good and evil. That's why we need teaching, to know what's good and what's evil. If we'll start living right, we're going to start seeing a process in our life where blessings will start coming in, things will start happening, and we'll start connecting. We'll get an understanding or an insight. That's that second thing. We'll get an understanding or insight, which is the opposite of deception and foolishness. Oh, there's a link here between living right. Because see, God can only bless where we follow what He says. If you don't walk the way He wants you to walk, whether it's us individually or collectively as a nation, He will not bless it. I don't care how many shandalag, yeshapakolarad issue you do. It's just not going anywhere. Because if you speak in tongues, it's in the language of angels, He's probably praying through you, God, correct this dude, judge this dude, get him right. I don't really know, but probably. You'll start getting understanding, and then it will eventually move into wisdom. Wisdom is different than understanding. Understanding is, okay, this is happening. Wisdom is, I know why this is happening, and I know how to reproduce it. And you become wise. You only become wise by walking right steps. So Max, since I'm picking on him, I'll pick on him some more. He's got a very important position. You're over production, right? Seeds and trees and whatever. Let's just call it production. When you first started that job, how much of it did you know? Yeah, I mean, I don't think you went to school to know how to make trees from seeds and plants and seedlings. Well, now he's got an understanding of it. And somebody could come along that's working there and go, man, he is so wise. How did he learn all this? A lot of little right steps. He probably even killed a few trees along the way by accident. Did you? He didn't do it on purpose, but he killed a few trees and he goes, that didn't work out too well. Now he has even more understanding. And when he sees somebody else doing that, we ain't doing it that way. And so, 2 Timothy 4:3. Oh man, this sums up most of the church. I hate to be so brutal. And it's not that I don't have hope for the church, but Sun Tzu, who wrote The Art of War, it's not a Christian book. It's written, 3,000 years ago in China or whenever it was written. He says, you can't defeat an enemy you do not understand. You've heard that before. You probably didn't realize that's where it came from. He probably copied it from somebody else before his time. But I've actually read The Art of War. Some good principles in there. And so, although I'm sharing this, it's not to be judgmental, but we need to understand our enemy. Because sometimes you're talking to your neighbor, and they're doing the most foolish ideas. What do? You just stop, because they're already in deception. You go off and pray and say, if you feel led, don't do it unless you don't feel led, because there'll be backlash. Say, Father, I bind up the spirit of deception in there. I pray for an opening. I pray for some rationality to try to speak into their life. But 2 Timothy 4:3 says this, a time will come when people will not listen to accurate teachings. That's out of God's Word translation. Instead, now he's speaking to Christians. Christians, Christians, Christians. Not the guy that's shooting up down on the corner. Instead, they will follow their own desires and surround themselves with teachers who tell them what they want to hear. What is that? That's lawlessness. I want to do what I want to do, and I'm going to hire you pastor or senator or school teacher to reinforce my foolish ideas. And it ends with this. People will refuse to listen to the truth and turn to myths. Myths is pregnant people. But us in this room on an individual level and a national level, and you see this battle playing out between righteousness and lawlessness. Trump's trying to do best he can, but he can only go so far. You're seeing it at the state level, you're seeing it at the national level, you're seeing it at the school board level, you're seeing it in your neighbor, you're probably seeing it with some of your family. But at least you understand the process. Lawlessness is doing your own thing. It produces deception, which means a hardening of your heart. You actually believe it. It produces, you're just a fool. I don't recommend you call anybody a fool unless you're bigger and badder than them. I wouldn't do that anyway, I'm not sure. But at least you understand the process. And it produces poverty and chaos in their life. When people come to me for counseling, which they really don't do too much anymore, we haven't had a whole lot of new people. My whole job of counseling is, okay, where did they not rightly apply some decision in their life? It can be more complicated than this. But this is, they come to you because they got a problem, poverty and chaos. So, okay, where did they say go in the wrong direction and they pick something besides righteousness? It's really, I mean, it can be a process, but it's really as simple as that. And if you can identify where they took the wrong direction and get them to do the right direction, eventually it produces prosperity and order. It's not that complicated, but if you understand this process, right living produces an understanding, produces wisdom, and produces prosperity. Let me end with this. Prosperity. Well, let me go one more time. Numbers 11, verse 13. This will be the last verse. We'll close out on this. If you carefully obey the commands I am giving you today. This is Moses speaking to the people before they go into the promised land. They were warned. They ended up doing it. They ended up in chaos and went to Egypt. Then they did right. Okay, this isn't working out so well. Maybe not. That's what I had down here, out of the New Living Translation. Does it not say something like, if you carefully obey the commands I'm giving you today? Okay. It's somewhere in the Bible. Probably in Numbers. Let me write these verses down. This is what I get for copying verses in instead of having a paper Bible in front of me. I'll read this. It's somewhere in the Bible. If you carefully obey the commands I'm giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God and serve Him with all your heart and soul, then He will send the rains in the proper season, the early and late rains so you can bring in your harvest of grain, new wine, and olive oil. He will give you lush pasture land for your livestock, and you yourselves will have all you want to eat. Well, what's the condition? We go, Father, you know, I've been in so many charismatic services, they're prophesying this prosperity and all that stuff, and I don't think you really need to prophesy that. I think we need to say, Lord, help us obey your commands I'm giving you today and love the Lord your God. If you do that, all this other stuff just happens. It's like a bowling balls. So what is prosperity? There's a lot of stuff, but it's having a healthy spirit, a renewed soul that thinks and feels like Jesus, healthy emotions and relationships, memories healed, hope for the future, good marriages, good parenting, steady and successful in our jobs, etc., etc. That's prosperity. Us as Americans in our capitalistic thing, just thinking have a $10 million in the bank. And maybe that's a part of it, but you could have $10 million in the bank, your marriage is a mess, your kids are on drugs, you're so full of anxiety and depression that, okay, you're prosperous in money, but nothing else. All right.